Good morning. So good to see you here this morning, and happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there. Please know to all of our dear moms that we wouldn't be the men and we wouldn't be the women today that we are without you, without your guidance, without your wisdom, without your self-sacrificial love as you have imitated our Savior Jesus. And we want to thank you and honor you today. And all of you husbands and sons and daughters and whatever other family relationship you have, make sure you make your mom feel special today on this Mother's Day. Our human hearts, they're so easily captivated by a good mystery. The entertainment industry, as we know, makes billions of dollars every year producing both fictional films, non-fictional films, mystery films, which pique our curiosity and leave us with wonder and amazement at the end of the mystery, at their conclusion. Although the world contains thousands, millions of mysteries that would take our breath away if revealed to us, the secret behind those mysteries, there are not many mysteries in the world that are greater than the one of marriage. The Bible calls marriage, as was read for us a moment ago, a profound mystery that means something so much more than the way the world treats it. For the next several weeks, what we are going to be doing and unfolding and unpacking is that we're going to be talking about the biblical meaning of marriage. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 13, verse 4, "Let marriage be held in honor among all." So, the biblical meaning of marriage is not just something to be understood by those who are married. This isn't just a series for those who have a marriage relationship currently, but for all people, singles, the married, the divorced, the widowed, the preteens, and the teenagers. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Any situation or phase of life that you find yourself in, God desires you to know what marriage is intended to mean because it helps us to see Him even more clearly. In this series, we're going to unfold how the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is exactly what Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 5, how the gospel reveals to us the blessed meaning of marriage. When we fully understand the meaning of marriage as revealed in Jesus, and we live that meaning out in our lives, we embrace a "here I am, send me" attitude, allowing our marriages to become living reflections to a lost and dying world of the magnitude of Jesus' love for sinners. And it is then and only then we will get on the path that leads to fullness of joy, all by God's amazing design. So that's what we are going to talk about this morning, the basic meaning of marriage that the Bible unfolds for us. Now, first of all, I want to address the meaning of marriage from our current cultural perspective, what our culture seems to view the meaning of marriage as. Our culture has a much different idea about the meaning of marriage than what we see in the pages of Scripture. And that meaning that our culture promotes can so easily creep into our thinking, into our thoughts, and into our behavior. Several years ago, there was a columnist named Tara Parker Pope of the New York Times. She wrote an article called "The Happy Marriage is the Me Marriage." And in the article, she talks about the current postmodernistic meaning of marriage, how our society views basically marriage, the meaning of it, and the goal of it. She says this, which is very interesting in her article. She says, "The notion that the best marriages are those that bring satisfaction to the individual may seem counterintuitive. After all, isn't marriage supposed to be about putting the relationship first? Not anymore," she says. "For centuries," she writes, "marriage was viewed as an economic and social institution, and the emotional and intellectual needs of the spouses were secondary to the survival of the marriage itself. But," she says, "in modern relationships, people are looking for a partnership, and they want partners who make their lives more interesting, who," she says, "help each of them attain valued goals." So, she says that marriage in past times, in past centuries, and really throughout the whole century, throughout the whole history of the world, used to be a public institution for the common good of both parties within a marriage, with both partners making sacrifices so that the relationship may be sustained, so that the relationship may be put first. But now, in our postmodernistic culture, she says it is rather a private arrangement that is for the satisfaction of the individual. In other words, marriage used to be about us. Now it's about me. The modern meaning of marriage is this: self-fulfillment, self-satisfaction. To find a partner that will complete you, that will meet all of your needs, that is low maintenance, and will be the conduit for you to reach your ultimate state of happiness and satisfaction. That's the basic bedrock foundational meaning of marriage in our postmodernistic culture, in our society that we live in today. Now, when discussing this modern meaning of marriage, I found another quote by an author named Tim Keller. He says this when discussing this modernistic view of marriage as self-fulfillment and a purpose to bring self-satisfaction. He says this: to conduct a me marriage, and that's what he's talking about, it requires two completely well-adjusted, happy individuals with very little in the way of emotional neediness of their own or character flaws that need a lot of work. And then he says this: the problem is there is almost no one out there like that to marry. Brothers and sisters, despite what our culture preaches to us, possessing a belief, either consciously or unconsciously, that marriage is about self-fulfillment and self-satisfaction automatically sets the marriage up for failure. What happens when the initial spark, the romance that you felt in the beginning, eventually and inevitably vanishes away and your spouse ceases to fulfill you? What happens when the person you thought you loved once before begins to change into someone that you don't see as compatible with you anymore? What happens when you become irate over your spouse's flaws, over their imperfections, and over their failings? When the meaning of marriage is self-fulfillment and self-satisfaction, and when people blindly jump into marriage without a proper biblical framework, most often, in all honesty and all truth, it wreaks havoc on the relationship. The initial feelings of love and romance grow cold as you witness the other person's self-centeredness and sin directed toward you. Now we know that there has to be a better way, another meaning for marriage, which is deeper and that truly leads to lifelong happiness And we know as Christians that there is. The Bible reveals to us a different meaning behind marriage that is much more profound, that is much more grand, and will result in true joy and fulfillment if we embrace it. So let's talk, let's begin by talking about some foundational principles that God lays down about marriage in the very beginning of the Bible. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. We see here some several foundational teachings regarding marriage. We're not going to read the entire text because of time's sake. We're going to read three verses within it. Look with me in verse 18. Number one thing that this text teaches us is that marriage is a union where man may experience completeness through the sharing of grace to another person. Look in verse 18. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" Human beings, we know, were not created to live in isolation from one another. We were created to thrive in relationships and experience completeness and wholeness through those relationships, whether the kind of relationships that are built on the sharing of grace to the other. No person is complete unless they are conducting grace like electricity between God and another person, sharing with them, sharing God's gift of grace. And no single person in the audience today should conclude that this can only happen in marriage, because it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be married to be a conduit of grace with another person. That's why God gave us a church family. Marriage is just one context, the Bible teaches, where man may experience completeness through the sharing of grace to another person, an experience of completeness and wholeness, a gift that God gives to every single one of us. Now, another teaching that we see in Genesis chapter 2 is found in verse 23. Look with me there. Marriage is also a commitment through which man may experience joy by pursuing the joy of the other person. Look in verse 23. It says, "Then the man said, 'This at last,' Adam says, 'is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" Adam here says, "At last, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Adam is joy-filled here in this text when he enters a committed relationship with this woman. And this is what marriage is designed by God to bring about in a relationship: joy through commitment. And this joy is not attained when we pursue it solely for ourselves, but when we rather pursue it for ourselves in the joy of the other person. This is where true joy can be tasted in a marriage. The Bible teaches, when you zealously seek your own joy through a solid commitment to the other person's joy. And we're going to talk about that principle even more as we go through this series, because Paul lays this out in a more profound way in Ephesians chapter 5. But lastly, another foundational teaching that we see in Genesis chapter 2 about marriage is that it is also an institution that was created and defined by God himself. In verse 24, it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Brothers and sisters, there's no such thing as homosexual marriage in the eyes of Almighty God. God created marriage to be between one man and between one woman that leave the care of their parents and become caregivers to one another for life. That's God's definition of marriage, an institution that He created and He defined before the foundations of the world. Now, the text in Genesis chapter 2 that we just looked at is the very same text that Paul uses to expose the amazing, profound meaning of biblical marriage in Ephesians chapter 5 as revealed through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's go there together in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verse 31 through the first half of verse 32. Paul says this in verse 31, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And then he says, this mystery is profound. In the biblical sense, a mystery, if you look in the Greek word mysterion here, isn't some obscure piece of knowledge known only to a select few, but rather it's something wondrous, a hidden truth which has a significance that shakes the very foundation of human hearts and is being revealed through the Spirit of God for all of the world to behold in all of its glory and splendor. Those of you around at that time can, as by the way of an illustration, can remember when the secret or the mystery of Darth Vader was revealed, and the whole world could see that that he was Luke's father. Sorry to spoil it for you if you've never seen the movie. It was earth-shattering, wasn't it? When the mystery, when the secret was revealed, Luke, I am your father. It was profound. It was grand. It was an event in which the world turned and said, "No way! That couldn't be. That couldn't possibly happen." People absolutely lost their minds. No one could believe the wonder of the new revealed secret. Now, we see that the secret and the mystery of marriage carries with it a weight of meaning that has no comparison, that cannot be compared, even compared with the secret of Darth Vader. So, what is the mystery? What is this secret of marriage which exposes a colossal truth that when beheld in all of its glory causes us to be still and know that He is God? What is this mystery? What is this secret that Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5? If you look in the book of Hosea, in the first several chapters, we're not going to read that this morning for time's sake, but you can go back on your own and just read in the book of Hosea. There's a very odd and peculiar story within the pages of the text where God tells Hosea to marry a quote-unquote woman of whoredom named Gomer. In essence, this is a woman that's steeped in sin and ugliness, a worthless woman, the text says, that lacks faithfulness, that lacks commitment, and is promiscuous in everything that she says and everything that she does. So Hosea, obeying God, he does this. He takes her as his wife, and he bears several children with her. And of course, what does she do within the text? She commits adultery and leaves him and the children alone and ashamed. Then God tells Hosea to do something absolutely remarkable, earth-shattering, jaw-dropping. He tells him to go and find Gomer, pay off all of her debts to her lovers, and commit his love to her again. And God says that all of that, that whole thing, that whole incident, the whole idea behind that commandment is a prophetic symbol of how He Himself relates to His people. Brothers and sisters, the truth is that the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ is this. All of humanity is just like Gomer. And that includes you. The spiritual condition of the world, the Bible teaches us, is a stench to a God who is the essence of perfection and holiness. Humans in their sinful condition have no amount of righteous deeds or works that could appease Him. They are rather the righteous deeds and works that we think that we accomplish, that we think that we do, that we think could appease God. The text of the Bible says are rather like filthy rags in the eyes of Almighty God. There is nothing good in us outside of Him. No matter what the world tells you, that is God's honest truth. But God, being rich in grace and mercy, sees us, beholds us, knows us in our sinful condition, a condition that directly opposes every aspect of His being and nature. And this God, He humbles Himself to a degree that we could never understand, never fully fathom, and reveals His almighty love for us even while we were still caked with sin by experiencing a kind of separation from Himself that was beyond agonizing, so that we may be healed of all of our sin and all of our iniquity. And not only that, but to be transformed into the same image of God Himself. The gospel is this: you are dead in your sins and trespasses without Him. But the God of the universe gave Himself, emptied Himself up for you because He sees you as valuable beyond measure, and has sacrificed Himself in your place so you could attain fullness of joy through the praise of Him. Come to Jesus, and He will give you the gift of Himself. He will wash you clean of every defilement and sin that made you abhorrent in the eyes of a good God, and transform you into something that was once ugly, that was once stained with sin, into something beautiful, into something precious, into something wondrous. So, the secret and the mystery of marriage, what does it mean? Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. What an amazing statement. The mystery of marriage, which is revealed through the Holy Spirit, is that it is to be a living reenactment of what Jesus has done for His church, His beautiful bride. Paul says this again in Ephesians 5:33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Husbands, the meaning of your marriage is to give yourself up for the needs and spiritual development of your wife so that she may come to know Jesus more deeply and more fully despite her imperfections, despite her flaws, and despite your prideful feelings, which tell you that surrendering your will for her benefit is of no value and no gain. The meaning of your marriage is to love her and cherish her as Jesus has loved and cherished you, despite the way that you feel. Wives, the meaning of your marriage is to sacrifice your selfishness and to respect your husband, even when your heart tugs you in the other direction. It's to lift him up and to esteem him as a man that is worthy of honor, that is worthy of respect. It's to put away your pride and submit to him and his leadership, just like Jesus submitted in all things to the will of the Father. And when we see this kind of humble self-sacrifice and pure submission from a husband and wife, we are witnessing the very heart of God Almighty. But when one, and we've seen this so many times in the world, and sometimes even in the church, when one or both parties fail to live out the biblical meaning of marriage, the results are detrimental. The world sees fulfillment as the meaning of marriage, but the biblical, pure, unadulterated, beautiful, wondrous meaning of marriage is rather mutual self-sacrifice, which eventually leads to mutual self-fulfillment. And in adherence to this beautiful pattern and meaning of marriage from both partners will result not only in joy, that's not the ultimate goal, they're not the ultimate aim, but a proclamation to the world of Jesus' love for sinners. When we embody the biblical meaning of marriage, our marriages become a sermon to a world that is lost and dying. We point the world to the God that loves them beyond comparison by the way we treat our wives, by the way we treat our husbands, and by the way we treat other people in general, the way that Jesus has treated us. You can say, "Here I am," this morning, "send me," by the way you treat your husband, by the way you treat your wife, by the way you treat your coworkers, by the way you treat your friends, by the way you treat your enemies. You don't have to just be married to embody this meaning behind marriage. By laying down our pride and our selfish will and treating others just as God and Jesus Christ has treated us. Oh, brothers and sisters, how this world would change if all people modeled the blessed meaning of marriage. And the good news this morning is that you can be a catalyst of that change by making a commitment right now to become more like your blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by emptying yourself, sacrificing your will for the betterment of another. If you have any need this morning, if you're hurting in any way, we can pray for you or bear your burdens in any way. Or if you know that you need Jesus, you know that you're lost and you've repented of your sins, come forward this morning, confess faith in him, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and begin a relationship with the God of the universe. If you have any need this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.